Welcome back. So, two announcements. One, no face-to-face teaching next week, so take the rest of the year off. I'll see you back here on January 7th. Is that right? And then, happy birthday to Janelle Wang. Yes. So, she's 52 years old and does not look like that. Well, you know it's not. Exactly. That's why I said it, because it's not true. So when I tell everybody that you're 48, they're going to say, oh, that's so much better, right? And you will too. So happy, happy birthday. And it's kind of bad to have a birthday on December 22nd, isn't it? Because you always kind of get hosed out of one set of gifts, right? That's not right. So two gifts, Troy.
I'll miss that.
Good man.
Not a rookie anymore.
Exactly. Yep, we have to be institutionalized. All right, let's take the offering. Welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. We are a Christian church that pursues truth from the Word of God. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for many things we provide so you can worship our God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that no... Where am I at here? Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it for free. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to provide for yourself and for others for your contribution. Man, is it just me, or do they start putting up Christmas decorations earlier and earlier each year? I feel like they started in August this year. But I guess at the end of the day, I've actually grown to like it. Because while most people see lights and decorations and Santa, I see the Lord Jesus Christ. When I hear Christmas songs, they remind me that our gracious God gave to us the amazing sacrifice of his Son so that we could all have eternal life. We can't do anything to save ourselves, so God gave it to us as a free gift. When you think about it, God gave to us before we even asked. God the Father planned in eternity past to give us salvation through faith alone in the birth, death, and resurrection of the uniquely born one. So what will God give to us if we do ask for it? Well, Emily and I have been asking God to give us a child for 2 years now. We tried naturally for a year, and after she had a heartbreaking miscarriage, we turned to fertility doctors to assist. Well, after four IUIs, I'll spare you the details. I don't want to get Caleb sick. But after four IUIs and many doctor visits in between, we have nothing to show for it. So we just gave up on the doctor and put it back in God's hands. We were praying throughout this process, and we were trying to be patient, but doubt started to sneak in. Our faith was challenged by our own doubt. We just went back to the basics. Again, I'll spare the details for Caleb's sake. Well, I don't want to steal the thunder from 7-pound, 3-ounce baby Jesus, but Emily is pregnant.
Yeah!
Thank you. It's just over 12 weeks. So we asked in prayer and God delivered. God made us wait so we would know what it's just like. God made us wait so we would know that it's just like salvation. We couldn't do it ourselves. We asked and he gave, just like Christmas. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. I like God's words translation. It says it great. That's why I tell you to have faith that you have already received what you pray for, and it will be yours. I'm happy to share this with you all so we can go through the process together and celebrate together. Also, those that were praying for us can see the confirmation of their prayers and begin with new prayers. So please help us by praying for the healthy baby and smooth pregnancy. And remember as you give that God gives when you ask, so let us return the favor. And remember to give as suggested in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion from the deacons, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
So Denny and Emily, that is fantastic news, and I just want you to know that that's a lot to be excited about. That's a fantastic Christmas present for Barah Ministries, and I just want you to know Barah Ministries is a tough crowd. And as I was walking up, I heard somebody in the back say, "Just hope the baby doesn't look like Denny." Now, you know, I mean, I'm like, oh come on! Oh, I'll tell you, it's a tough crowd. No, that was not me. It was not me. If forced, I will give names.
I already know who it was.
Oh, man. Well, that's fantastic news. And I, you know, there have been so many times, Em, that I have been looking at you when I was given the faith message, you know, over the last couple of years, because I wanted you to know that you were not going to be the first person that God didn't come through for. And I'm so happy for you that he did, and happy for us that we'll be able to share that with you. And you have our total support, as you well know. So we're really excited about it. And that full support is only contingent on the fact that you named the child Rory. So, no. Rory is a boy's or a girl's name, so it's very versatile. No, we're really happy for you. I feel like going into Luca Brasi. And may your first child be a masculine child. So turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Today's study, the God-man's impact on people because of his birth. The God-man's impact on people because of his birth. Let's look at the Old Testament prediction of the Lord Jesus Christ's birth that we heard in that song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. This is Isaiah's announcement to the Jews that their deliverer is coming during a period of time when they were in captivity. Chapter 40, verse 1, Isaiah. The Lord Jesus Christ had made five promises to Abraham and the Jewish race, and he always comes through. And even though the Jews were in a period of captivity, where they were being trained in a character pattern, they were being told here that the deliverer is coming. They were in captivity, they were in the slave market, yet God dealt with his people the way he always does. He delivered them with his very person. And this is the announcement as we look at it. So first we're going to look at the God-man's impact on the world. Isaiah 41, comfort. Oh, comfort is coming to my people Israel, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her in captivity, so that her warfare, call out and tell her that her warfare has ended and that her iniquity has been removed and that she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah 43, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. In other words, roll out the red carpet for him. That's what the Hebrew idiom says. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Deliverer. Listen to how the road is being smoothed in the next verse. Let every valley be lifted up. So if it's down, if it's a dip, bring it up to even. Every mountain and hill be made low. If they're tall, flatten it. Let the rough ground become plain. Pave the road and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed. He will, and that means he will take on the form of true humanity and tabernacle among us. And all flesh will see his glory together. For the mouth of the Lord through his word has spoken. Isaiah 46, a voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? Call out that all flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. We are temporary. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of our God is permanent. So while people may be temporary, God is permanent. Isaiah 49, to the messenger, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift your voice up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah in captivity, here is your God, the Messiah, Emmanuel, the prediction that he is coming. Behold, the Lord God will come with might and his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense, his compensation, is before him. Like a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Deliverer, will tend his flock, and in his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes. The God-man's impact on the world is to bring the world from captivity. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't ever again be subject to the yoke of slavery. The Lord keeps his promise to the Jewish race in spite of their rejection of him. What a great privilege for the Jews and for us believers in Christ that we have a deliverer in the Lord, a great shepherd who tends to us as if we are lambs, who tends to us as if we are ewes, who knows we must be handled with unconditional and loving care. The song, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to men on earth.
So, Caleb, did we flip over to the second part yet? So we don't have to stop? Okay, good. All right, so now let's take a tour of the New Testament and see the lives on which the Lord Jesus Christ had impact at his birth, because the Christmas story is the story of the God-man's impact. What was the God-man's impact on the life of Joseph, his human father? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18. What was the impact of the God-man on Joseph, his human father? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Joseph was going to get married to his sweetheart Mary, teenage girl. It was to be a routine thing. There's a process. You meet the family, you get engaged. Engagement in Israel was the same as marriage. Once you became engaged, you had to get a divorce to break it off. So what was the God-man's impact on the life of Joseph, his human father? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, that is, engaged to Joseph, meaning they were married, and the rest was formality, before they came together, before they had sexual intercourse, she was found to be pregnant by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. Imagine Joseph. Joseph's a human being like you and me, and he's not stupid enough to think that his wife would be pregnant by God. If you get pregnant, you're no longer a virgin. And it usually isn't by God. It's by a guy. So imagine his broken heart when he found this out. Matthew 1:19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, meaning a believer in Christ, did not want to disgrace Mary, and he planned to divorce her secretly. He planned to send her away, meaning to divorce her secretly. Matthew 1:20, but when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, and that is an indication of his lineage, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the agency of God the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, which says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh took on the form of flesh and tabernacled among us. God with us. Matthew 1:24. Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and Joseph called the son's name Jesus. The God-man's impact on Joseph called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. And Joseph had faith, and Joseph obeyed. And that was the God-man's impact on Joseph. The next song, A Baby Changes Everything, sung by June Murphy.
Hallelujah. is changed around. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A baby changes everything. Jesus Christ, he changed everything.
Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. A baby changes everything. You know, Joseph wasn't okay just because he expressed faith and just because he was obedient. He wasn't okay. Because, you know, news leaked out that Mary was pregnant. It's hard to hide a pregnancy. And in the strict legalistic Jewish culture, it was not okay for a woman to be pregnant before she was actually married. Teenagers didn't get pregnant very often. So everything wasn't okay. He was a laughingstock, subject of much criticism. That was an impact as well. Baby changes everything. And then he was concerned for his wife. You know, is everything going to be okay with my wife, as men are? You know, I was talking to Denny yesterday, and I said, so what do you think now, you know? Well, you know, the baby's far enough along where, you know, we've got a 70 to 80% chance. It's like 70 to 80%, dog. Those are statistics. This is Christ. It's not a 70 to 80% chance. It's a 100% chance. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, no, it's like, here's Jesus up in heaven. Hey, Emily's pregnant. You got any of those waterhead babies over there that we can send down to them? Yeah, no, Denny can handle it. No, it's not exactly going to be like that. It's not exactly going to be like that. But you feel that way, right? Now, I remember when the babies came out, first thing I wanted to count the toes and the fingers, right? Zachary only had 9 toes. That was bad. But one very large head. So what about Mary? The baby changed everything. What about Mary? What was the God-man's impact on Mary? Luke 1:26. Now in the 6th month, and that's a reference to Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary's cuz. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, the Lord's messenger angel, was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of King David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, Gabriel said to Mary, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, if you're Roman Catholic, you're getting all misty-eyed because it's "Hail Mary, full of grace." Right? But what this is really saying is, "Greetings, favored one." And that's best translated, "Hello to you, Mary, a believer in Christ who is in the sphere of God's grace." And it's a greeting that could be made to any believer in Christ. Mary was not more special in God's eyes than you are special to him. Luke 1:29, but she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." In other words, you are in the sphere of God's grace, as all believers in Christ are. Luke 1:31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God the Father will give him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the throne of his father David, and the Lord Jesus Christ will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary didn't hear any of that. She didn't hear those two verses. She heard, "You're going to be pregnant, and this baby you have is going to be phenomenal." She didn't hear any of that. What she was thinking is, "How can this be since I am a virgin?" Mary wasn't getting caught up in the hoopla of the moment. She stayed focused on this incredible request, and this was an incredible request of her. This wasn't a mandate to her. This was a request of her. And Gabriel was saying, this is what your God would like you to do. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, formerly barren Elizabeth, 60 years old Elizabeth, who got pregnant from 99-year-old, or from Zacharias, Zacharias, when he found out that he was a Levitical priest, and when he found out that his wife was going to be pregnant, he laughed. And behold, even your relative, formerly barren Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month of pregnancy. She was embarrassed for her whole life that she couldn't have a baby, because in Jewish society, you were an outcast as a female if you couldn't have a baby. Well, why did this happen? Because nothing will be impossible with God. So the request has been registered, and Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week service to our God, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And so everything was fine then, right? A teenage girl, not married yet, but pregnant in a legalistic society. An embarrassment to her family, wondering exactly what's going to happen here, because having a baby changes everything. The God-man's impact on Mary called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. What was the God-man's impact on Elizabeth? Luke 1:39. Now at this time, right after the angel's departure, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, endued by the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. She was talking to Mary. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit is rejoiced in the God who is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who respect him. The Lord Jesus Christ has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who are humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his descendants, forever. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months until she had the baby and then returned to her home. The God-man's impact on Elizabeth, a 60-year-old woman who was thought to be barren, called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. Take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. What was the God-man's impact on the shepherds? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register for the census along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child, pregnant. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths. We've heard those described as swaddling clothes, and we think we have this picture of these, you know, soft, snuggly blankets. But what these really were sparagnoo. These are the cloths that are used to wrap a mangled corpse. And if you've ever been to a history museum, you've seen those cloths that mummies are wrapped with. And so from his birth, the Lord was identified with his death by being wrapped in cloths that were meant for a mangled corpse. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. The innkeeper missed an opportunity there, didn't he? He was too busy to let them have a room, and he could have been famous for all time for something other than he had no room. Luke 2:8. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Funny side story, when I was in Bethlehem, I was with a tour group, and there was a black girl in the tour group. She's about 30 years old, a lawyer, and a knucklehead. She was causing a lot of trouble on the tour. And her mother was with us. And so we were in a store in Bethlehem, and we were being given some wine. And the shopkeeper took a liking to her and offered her mother 30 goats if she would allow him to marry her. That was so cool. I thought that was cool. So I said, are you serious? I'm trying to barter the deal, right? And I was wondering, are you really serious? He was dead serious. He wanted to marry her right that minute. And he was going to give the girl's mom 30 goats. But I talked him out of it. Because she had been complaining that the tour guide wouldn't take us up the Muslim section of Jerusalem. And he was Jewish, and he was trying to protect us because that is the most dangerous section of the tour. And he was trying to protect us from that. And she was complaining about it. Oh, why don't you want to take us where the black people are? These are not black Muslims, honey. So just shut up and do what the guy says. He knows what he's talking about. Luke 2:9. She didn't appreciate being called honey because she was a lawyer. So in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So it's the middle of the night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Why? Because the glory of the Lord lit up the area, so it was as bright as day at midnight. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. You notice how when angels come around, that's always the first thing out of their mouth. Don't be afraid. People panic. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Who is that? Who are the men with whom he is pleased? Who is that? Us meaning what? Believers in Christ. Exactly. Luke 2:15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The God-man's impact on shepherds is that they did something that shepherds never do. What is that? They left their sheep. This event called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. Let's hear a Christmas song in memory of the shepherds. Hark, the herald angels sing.
The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the new.
Thank you.
John, turn to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. What was God-man's impact on the Magi? The Magi. You ever hear of the Magi? We three kings of Orient are. You remember them?
Yes.
Bearing gifts, we traverse afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Star of wonder, star of night. The three guys who follow the star. You remember them? You don't know who the Magi are? My goodness gracious, people. All right, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. What was the God-man's impact on the Magi? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi, they were astronomers, from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." The God-man's impact on the Magi caused them to trust the stars. It called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. Look, nature itself even announced the birth of Christ. A star, and the Magi, the astronomers, saw the star, followed the star, and found the child. What was the God-man's impact on Herod, the king? Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king heard this from the Magi, he was troubled. And all of Jerusalem, the ones who didn't believe in Christ, was troubled with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Now here's the thing. If you're going to inquire where the Messiah is to be born, you had to know that there was a Messiah. He knew. He connected what the Magi were saying with the coming of the Messiah. Even unbelievers know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that fun? That every year you can say, "I'm an unbeliever, I don't believe in Christ, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, I don't believe anything about Christ." Yet every year, there is this thing called Christmas. And you know good and well that Christmas isn't Santamus. Right? So all over the world, no matter where people are, they know about Christmas. And they know that the first letters of Christmas are Christ. Matthew 2:5. So the chief priests and scribes said to Herod, "The Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Bethlehem is BFE. It is a no place, little, meaningless town. It's down in a valley, and you see that the real people of Bethlehem live all the way up the hill. But Bethlehem is nowhere, is no place. You would be shocked at the spot where Jesus Christ was born and how insignificant it is and how insignificant it looks. Matthew 2:7. Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And Herod sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." No, he had ulterior motives. And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. So he was no longer a baby. He was a child. And they were no longer in a manger. They were in a house. In Matthew 2:10, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts fit for a king, of gold for his deity, frankincense for his life, and myrrh for his humanity, identifying him with his death." Myrrh was the oil that was placed on corpses. The God-man's impact on Herod was to threaten his kingdom. This event called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. Yet Herod was an unbeliever and responded as a man without faith would respond. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Well, what was Herod's response? Herod's response means that the God-man had impact on parents and children of that day. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now when the Magi had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because there were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. "He shall be called a Nazarene." Do you hear that over and over again? And this is what was spoken in the prophets, Old Testament. And this is what was spoken in the prophets in the Old Testament. And this is what was spoken in the prophets in the Old Testament. And they knew, the Jews knew, what their Messiah, who their Messiah was and what to look for. The God-man's impact on the parents and the children of his day called for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. The parents would be consoled by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no worse experience than losing a child for a parent. And yet you know that our Lord did not leave it that way with these parents. And you know where the children reside today, heaven. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, and we'll start to wind down our study, our birthday study concerning our Savior. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. What is the God-man's perspective of his own impact? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. And here's what it says. "For the Mosaic law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they, Levitical priests, offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near." So here's what the Mosaic Law was doing. The Mosaic Law was teaching people in ritual about the fact that they could not keep it and therefore needed a Savior, and it pointed forward to the cross. What happens when you get rules imposed on you? You can't keep them. And therefore you realize that you're powerless to rules, and therefore you need a Savior. And so the Mosaic Law pointed forward to the cross, and these Levitical priests would continually do these offerings year by year. And those offerings were not able to make perfect those who were a part of them. Hebrews 10:2. Otherwise, would they not, these offerings not have ceased to be offered if they made the offerers perfect? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. That is what we are. You see, as believers in Christ, this is what we're called to do. We have been made perfect at the moment of salvation. God gives us his absolute righteousness. We are cleansed from sins once and for all time. God makes us perfect, and therefore, we are no longer to have consciousness of our sins. Hebrews 10:3. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year. Does that sound familiar to those of you who have studied systematic theology? How we were encouraged to remind ourselves of our sins moment by moment by moment by moment? What does the Bible say, though? The Bible says when you've been made perfect, there is no need for consciousness of sin. And rituals do not cleanse you. That's what it says. Hebrews 10:4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Impossible, just as it is impossible for your confession of sins to take away sins. It is impossible for you having a guilt reaction to make any difference in the matter of your sins. Because there's only one thing that takes away sins. And what is it? Blood. And who shed it? Christ. Hebrews 10:5. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus Christ, that little baby who changed everything, comes into the world, he says from his deity, from the manger, sacrifice and offering you, God the Father, have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin by man, you have taken no pleasure. Then I, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it was written of me, I have come to do your will, O God the Father. The God-man's impact calls for a divine response of faith and obedience in the face of a circumstance that calls for a human response of doubt and disobedience. And as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our iniquities from us. As far as the east is from the west. The God-man has removed once and for all time our iniquities from us. What is the impact of the little baby? God the Father's will is that the Lord Jesus Christ be the only perfectly satisfactory payment for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only satisfactory payment for the sins of the whole world. Here's what 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say. My little children, believers in Christ, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. First of all, now that you've been cleansed from all unrighteousness, now that you're a believer in Christ, stop sinning. But if we sin, and we do, after salvation, we have an advocate, a paraclete, somebody who comes powerfully to our assistance in the matter, intervening for us with God the Father. Who? Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, Jesus Christ the righteous, is the propitiation for our sins, the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. And so here's my question for you. What did you do this week that indicated that you know that? What did you do this week that indicated that you know that you are no longer to have any consciousness of your sins? That is not your life. How many times did you beat yourself up this week for something you did wrong? How much is at the core of your existence the right and wrong philosophy of life as a believer in Christ? So you hear these things, but you have to engage these things and put them into your life. And if you're running around thinking that there's something wrong with you, that is hindering you from getting everything you want, then the things we're saying here make no difference to you. Then why do you come? Why would you come if you won't let these things make a difference? These things are being said to you by that little baby. These are things that are a promise from God. This isn't academic. This isn't a book. This isn't Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. This is the Bible. And this is God promising you, I have given you a gift at the moment of salvation, which means you no longer have to have a consciousness for sins because I wiped them all out. And now you are to live an unlimited life. You are to think that everything is going to go your way. Do you? The baby changed everything. All God asks of us is believe. Have confidence in my person. Believe. Do everything I say. Believe. Faith. Today, we express our faith. Today, we believe, and we thank our Almighty God for the birth of the Savior of the world. Closing song, O Holy Night.
O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night divine.
This lesson, we saw some people, we saw how the God-man's life impacted people, and we saw some people who expressed faith, Mary, Joseph, the Magi, the shepherds. A lot of people expressed faith, but we saw one person who looked at the exact same circumstance, the birth of this baby, and felt threatened. And committed a terrible and heinous act to try to protect himself and human power as if he could. It's not much different from our life today, is it? And not just something that we can point outside of ourselves, because we do the exact same thing. You know, sometimes we're dynamite, and sometimes we think that we're going to be able to manufacture something that's going to give us what we want instead of just trusting our God to give it to us. Just asking him and waiting for his deliverance, which he always does. So that's what we learned today. And I hope you have a great Christmas filled with a lot of surprises. I hope that you take these lessons to heart. And I hope that as you consider what the next year is going to be like, and no day is guaranteed to any of us. You know, as believers in Christ, we're happy because we know that if we breathe our last in a particular day, we are face to face with the Lord. But we're not guaranteed anything. But I hope that you approach the next year with faith. I hope you approach the next year with announcing to God exactly what you expect him to do for you. And I hope you stand back after that and watch the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you. We've seen example after example after example here in Barah Ministries of our fantastic God delivering us from circumstances where we had no human power. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He paves the way, rolls out the red carpet for you. He will be with you always. He will not fail you or forsake you ever. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. That's the way he looks at you. For the Lord is a God of justice. He is always fair. And blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, spread this message of faith and obedience to all the hearers that you can muster to come to the Barah Ministries website and to hear the good news about what that little baby did to change everything. Thanks for sending your son, your magnificent son, the Christ, the Messiah, to be the Savior of the world. Thank you for this opportunity to worship him. We pray that you continue to enlighten us inside of ourselves and help us to see all of the things that he is doing for us today, all of the things he has done for us in the past, and all the things that he'll do with us, for us in the future. And I pray that you continue to grow this sanctuary called Barah Ministries as a place where we can come and cleanse ourselves from the evil curriculum of the world and learn how you are guiding our paths. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.